Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and today I'm delighted to welcome Erica Tucci, author of Radiant Survivor, How to Shine and Thrive Through Recovery from Stroke, Cancer, Abuse, Addiction, and Other Life-Altering Experiences. Hello, Erica.
Hi, Cheryl. How are you doing?
Great today. Glad to have you with me. Erica, you know, as everybody who follows Healing From Within knows, I interview authors and leaders in the field of healing on all levels, mind, body, and soul, while offering ways for self-investigation and self-mastery of our emotions, finding life-altering situations that inspire change, transformation, and higher growth. It has been said that anything that doesn't kill us makes us stronger. But I would think we might have more appreciation of life. That is an absolute, at least. In today's episode, Erica will share her experiences as having been a corporate manager of a Fortune 500 company, a healing arts business owner, and an author of 3 books, and how her life was interrupted in June 2011 when she had a stroke that left her completely paralyzed on her right side. Erica will share how during her recovery, she gained much wisdom about what's really important in life, and also found a new mission to inspire those facing their own challenges, which we all have, whether they're big or small. So we'll begin, Erica. Please tell us of your earlier life, personal objectives or challenges before the stroke.
Oh, well, like you said, I was a corporate manager. I had a busy, busy schedule because I was working 80 hours a week, because I had my corporate management job. And then on the side, I was working on trying to build my healing arts business. And then I also, at the time, I was writing 2 books, the ones that I published in 2011. And so I was extremely busy, didn't have time really for myself at all. And my goals were to what I wanted to do was get out of corporate and just do my healing arts business. But I had to, have a bill paying job in order to be able to compensate for, living while I was trying to build my healing arts business. But then, of course, I had my stroke.
Yes, of course, you have family. You were a single
parent.
Yes, I
have 2 boys. Right. Yes, I was.
And of course, we might say, and it might be, that stress that you were putting your body through and your ideas about success at that time in your life might have been a contributor. Would you think so?
Well, you would think so. And it's very possible that it was. But I really loved my job, my corporate job. It was not stressful at all for me because I got up and I would go to work at 7 o'clock and I'd come home at 4 o'clock. So, I loved the people that I worked with. I never got involved with the politics. Even though I was a manager, I kept away from it. In fact, my office was wonderful. People used to come into my office to de-stress because I had soft light. I had, I had potpourri so they could smell, it smelled good. I had wall hangings. I had a water fountain.
Were you already involved in healing work?
Yes, I was. Before I actually was. I was already a Reiki master and a massage therapist.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to build, and I'm a life coach, but I was trying to build that business to something more than what it was then.
That's why you were working so hard.
Yes, because I was really striving to do a lot, working on that business a lot, like in the evenings and on the weekends and stuff to see how I could do it. But the problem was I was doing it with the wrong mindset, and that was what's in it for me. It was kind of an ego-based mindset,
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wasn't doing it from the heart, and
okay.
I think that's why it didn't work. It didn't take off at that time. But I was working so hard at it with my masculine.
That's okay. You know, I believe in a life plan, and we come with a destiny and a time to experience certain things. And probably this health issue was to take you from that ego-minded based lifestyle to a heart-based lifestyle, which took you in a tremendously new path, and was your path and was your road forward, not backwards, but forward. Now, tell us something about your stroke and also the two different types of stroke you learned about.
Well, first I want to say something to what you just said. My whole book, the book that I wrote, is the theme of it is exactly how, you know, about moving from that masculine, ego-based kind of mindset to the more feminine, heart-centered mindset. So that's, you know, that's the purpose of the book itself, but it's also the purpose of my stroke, like you said.
You know what? You know, Erica, it's also what's happening now all over the world.
That's exactly right.
We are moving from a male polarity,
yes,
which has created so many of the crises, war, and economic problems. And we are now going into the heart-based or nurturing and creative form of the feminine aspect of living. And that will bring us to a higher level of consciousness for all men and women, because we all have these energies.
Right.
We just
right.
need to learn to coordinate and have them cooperate with each other
right.
on a personal
right.
level and then on a world level.
Yes.
And that's what you were part of. So
that's exactly right. Yeah, and I had to have a stroke to get there.
Which
was the
sorry.
Hard part.
Yeah, I'm truly sorry
well,
that you had to. But your resilience and what you are doing now as a result of that are a triumph to your spirit and to the spirit of all who listen to you. So tell us something about the stroke.
How I had the stroke? Oh God!
Yes, okay. What happened?
I was briefly. Yeah, I was. Usually I wake up at 5:00 in the morning. It was about 6:30 and I had just finished getting ready for work and I was standing in my living room and all of a sudden I just collapsed. And I had keys in I had my purse on my shoulder, my left shoulder, with my keys in my hand, and everything. And I just collapsed on the floor and I could not get up for the life of me. And I thought, what the hell's going on? So I kept trying to push myself up and I finally realized part of my body's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my God. So fortunately, because I had my left hand, which was the operable one, I had my purse on my left shoulder. My phone was in my purse. So I pulled it out. I called my mother. Now my son, who's 21 now, he was 18 then. He was in his room. He lived with me at the time, but I knew that it was morning. It was 6:30 in the morning. It was summertime, so he wasn't in school or anything else. And I didn't think he'd be awake or anything. And so I called my mom, and I said, Mom, and of course I was slurring my words and everything. I don't know what happened to me, but I really need to, will you call Brett and see if you can wake him up? And so she, because I couldn't call out to him because my voice was so, you know, it was constricted at the time. And so she called him and she said, you know, Brett, please, something's wrong with your mother. I mean, she's on the living room floor right now. Go get her. So he runs out of his room. He looks at me, Mom, my God, you know, he knew what had happened. And he called the ambulance, told them my mom had a stroke. Can you please come? They came within minutes because they know that with a stroke, if you have an ischemic stroke, which is what I had, which is one that is caused by a blood clot that goes to the brain or, you know, and cuts off the blood flow. And if you have an ischemic stroke, if you get a certain medication called TPA within a window of, I think it's 3 hours, it can minimize the effects of the stroke. And fortunately for me, because he got me to the hospital fast enough, I was able to get that medication, and it saved my life.
Yeah, I know they have an injection also for people who are having a heart attack. And if you don't wait and you get to the hospital rapidly, they really can help you.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that was able to happen and your son was smart. He called and everything worked out that way. Now,
I would have been a vegetable. I really would have been because I would have had cognitive. I have a little bit of a problem with my vocal cords a little bit in speech. It's hard for me to talk. It takes a lot to project, and I used to have a very loud voice and a very, very loud, you know, strong projection. It's hard for me right now a little bit. It has been. It's also cognitively I'm doing fine, but I can tell that there's a little bit, you know.
There's a little difference. There's a little
difference. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Just a little bit. Well, you're doing great. I mean, I can hear your voice. It's clear as a bell. Now, you mentioned Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor. I'm aware of her work. She also suffered a stroke and paralysis. Can you tell us something of her progress and what she learned? Now, she's a trained brain scientist from Harvard, and she has a book, My Stroke of Insight, which describes how her stroke showed her the more we focus on any belief, the more powerful the belief becomes, among other things. But she described a lot about the left hemisphere and the right side or masculine side and vice versa. So can you tell us something of that? I found that very interesting.
Well, yes. Hers was a hemorrhagic stroke. It was caused by a hemorrhage in her brain, which means her brain, it just bled all over her brain. And so the blood got all over whatever parts of the brain that it affected. And so she had all kinds of problems. She couldn't read, she couldn't write, she couldn't walk, she couldn't do much of anything. So hers was very, very severe. It took her 8 years, I think, to recover from her stroke. But she is now completely recovered from it, you know, and doing very well from what I understand. And what happened with hers is because it affected her left brain, which mine did too, it caused her to, she was forced to be able to think and everything, or not even think, to use her right side of the brain, which is the intuitive, you know, the feminine,
the nurturing, the compassionate, the more spiritual side of the brain. And I think because she had to, she became aware that a lot of her beliefs, when she was functioning so much on the right side of her body in her male energy, changed drastically. And she became aware of many possibilities that you're able to think really outside of the box when you're using your right brain, and which is nurturing your left side. I was amazed about that because I know as a Reiki energy practitioner, I can pick up when I'm working on people where their pain is. On the right side, left side, sometimes both sides, but usually it's generally on one side. And I would say that's because they are functioning as you were from your left side of the brain to your right. That over a period of time without balancing the other side can lead to health issues of different kinds. So so she did discover that. It brought new insights, and she learned that you need to update old files that contain outdated information and let go, simply let go a lot of the clutter that our brains are and the messages that are being sent to our whole body.
Very true. And what's interesting about my stroke is that my right side, because mine was the left side of the brain that was affected, and my right side was affected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the right side is the masculine side. Well, it makes perfect sense, you know, that it was the side that was affected, because my masculine side had to be decommissioned so that my left side, my feminine side, could emerge so that I could become balanced. And that's what I'm working on now in my recovery, is I'm now trying to, you know, to help my feminine side psychologically emerge so that it can balance the masculine, you know, side, so that I'm using both masculine and feminine energies.
Yes, and the more that I do the work and I have read books in all aspects of healing and spirituality and education and music, this concept cuts across everything.
Yes.
The balancing of the male and female energies.
Right.
And until we get it right, our world is not going to be functioning at the highest level, nor are we as individuals. So I know another important aspect of healing that you say in your book was surrendering or learning to let go and trusting in a higher divine force at work. Can you tell us something about that?
That is that is the hardest. I'm learning from my own learning experience. That is the hardest task that anybody can have in life, because to surrender control to the higher power, to know that we don't really have total control of our life, that we are working in concert with spirit, and that to completely surrender everything to spirit. That
did
is
you,
so hard.
Did, Erica, did you think that way before your stroke, that you were working in concert with spirit and a higher dimension?
Yes.
You did know that. You did know
that. I did know, but see, there's a difference between knowing it in the mind, and when this is how I always say things. When something moves from your mind to your heart, and that's when it really resonates with you, and that's when things will happen. That's when you can manifest things. When it really gets into the heart and you feel it really deeply.
And
it's not just an intellectual exercise.
No.
And that's where I was when I was in the masculine mindset. It was all intellectual mind.
Me too. And I was told through a medium by my mother, who's in spirit, that I had to stop thinking with my mind and feel with my heart, and I would be a medium. And that was 15 years ago, and everything has gone on to show that that is the truth, that we must evolve and we must grow and we must pay attention to those messages and insights that are coming in. Our intuition is our highest sense of knowing, and it all leads us forward. Always the direction, no matter what happens to us, is forward. Now, you said a stroke is something sort of like a kind of dying. Can you say something about that?
Well, if you think about it, stroke is. I mean, it's dying of part of me. I mean, it's the dying of part, whatever part of you that is stroked. Because a stroke puts things out of commission. It makes things stop completely. And in that sense, you know, it is a dying. And for me, it was dying because the old self is dying in me, and the new self is coming forth. In order for that new self to come forth, there's got to be a death of something, you know. And that's what I love is that I was born in springtime. My birthday was about 2 weeks ago, April 2nd. So I'm a spring.
Oh,
my son's
birthday.
Really?
I always have synchronicity with everybody that I meet. Yes.
Well, in springtime is the season of birth, rebirth, resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we just had Easter. It's the resurrection. So, you know, and then wintertime, of course, is the season of death.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, a stroke is the, you know, it's a dying of the old so that the new can come forth, the transformation can come forth. And that's what I'm going through. And I think that that's what a stroke is all about. It stops you in your tracks from, it makes you think, okay, I'm going in the wrong direction, so I need to change my direction.
I think you went on to tell 14 stories of other people who had traumatic events, and they were all able, as a result, to change something in their thinking and behavior and become more heart-based individuals.
Right. 2009, 2 years before I had my stroke, I had a past life regression. And in that past life regression, I'm a dancer. I was a dancer in this lifetime previously in my younger days. In that lifetime, I was also a dancer. I was a showgirl. And I was watching myself on stage performing, and I noticed that there was a big gaping hole where her heart was. And had I known that, had I heeded the warning of that past life, I would have realized that my stroke was caused by a hole in my heart.
That you brought in from another wound, another hurt.
I did. And it was a wound. It was a wound because that hole in my heart was because of lost love in that past life. And the man that I lost in that past life is also in my life this lifetime, too. Now, I met him in 2007, and I mentioned one of my, you know, that I wrote two books in 2011, right before I published them, right before I had my stroke. And one of my novel, Anything Is Possible, is about my love affair with him in this lifetime.
And you wrote in your book, soulmates come together again and again to interact. There is karma or destiny, and that you believe that life or love is our deepest inner being, is from our deepest inner being, not our outer reality. And when you are whole within yourself and filled with pure love, your outer relationships and circumstances will reflect this soul love. And we can be healed from these wounds of the past.
Okay.
They will no longer be an issue for any of us. Yeah, I kind of like that when you wrote that, because I believe that is so. Now, there are 14 other stories of transformation, recovery, and hope in your book. How did you become acquainted with these people?
Facebook. Yeah, I wanted to have stories, and so what I did is I kind of just put my feelers out there, and I said, anybody that has a story, a life-altering experience, you know, like what I've had, I would love to include your story in my book. So I got, you know, I got a lot of stories, and it was really nice is that the way I wrote my book, I didn't do it in order. I didn't do it from the masculine side of my brain. I did it from the feminine side. It was very chaotic and not organized at all. I mean, whenever I had a theme that I had to write about, like, for example, something came up in my mind, I had to, like, never giving up or believing in yourself or my limited beliefs, any of those things that would come up in my mind, I would write a chapter on them. When it was so fascinating that there was always a story that would fit each chapter. And, you know, for every chapter that I wrote in my book, and so all the authors of these stories got their stories published and everything, and of course it made my book a lot meatier. And I think it had a lot more substance to it than just my story. Because
of course, and I think a lot of those people didn't come in by accident, but by synchronicity and coincidence, which is again divine intervention at work, helping us achieve our goals and what it is we want to share through the love in our heart, no matter how we find it. Once we find it and we open up and we start to want to share, I think those above us help. Now, one of the stories I liked a lot was about a young man, Denny, who fought recurring cancer for a long time.
Yes.
Can you tell us something? He wrote a book, too, Many Shades of Green. Can you tell us something about him?
Well, really, just what was in the story, because I don't really know that much about these people other than what they wrote in the story. When he was in college. I think that was the first time he was diagnosed.
He was very young.
Yes, and I mean, and he had it, and it would, you know, it would go away, and then all of a sudden he'd have it again, and he had it, I think, 6 times. But he was a fighter. He was a survivor, and he was not going to let the, you know, cancer he wasn't going to let it be victorious over him. He was going to be victorious over it, and so he kept at it. And he's got the same, mentality that I have about not letting it get to him, and it being a treasure, a gift.
I want to share something because there are many people out there. Either they are struggling with a cancer or another serious disease, or they know a loved one or business acquaintance. We're all somehow aware of this on some level. And he wrote, survivors never complain or dwell on their current situation. Instead, they move forward, as you have, with an ever-present focus on the horizon. And he also said, part of the healing process included that I discover, accept, and love myself, including my cancer. It is part of me and part of my experience. I found that to be tremendously helpful because a couple of weeks ago, I had to refer to that with someone who was struggling. I noticed a different look came over her face when she heard she needed to accept it. She wasn't different than anyone else. It was just an experience she was going through. I really like that very, very much. So, Erica, how do you feel other people are able to survive and triumph over challenges? And how can observing gratitude, attitude, and, of course, surrender aid in understanding or improving our life?
Well, you know, one thing that, back to what Denny had said, you know, what we resist persists. So if you resist anything in your life, it's going to keep at you until you embrace it as, like, you know, as part of you. And that's really true. And that comes to gratitude. You have to be grateful for everything that happens to you in life because it takes you one step forward. Everything that you do in life. You have to be grateful for everything that happens to you in life, good or bad, because there's always something that you're going to learn from. In fact, we really don't learn anything when things are working wonderfully in our lives because there's no reason to change anything. Everything's wonderful, so why would you do anything? It's when we have challenges in our life, that's when you start growing and start learning things that you need to learn in your life. So to me, being very, very grateful for everything that happens in your life, no matter how bad or how good it is, and having that attitude about, You know, I'm not gonna let anything defeat me. I'm gonna always be victorious no matter what happens in life. You have to believe in yourself. You really have to really, really surrender again to your own inner divinity, to spirit, because that's where you're gonna get your strength. In fact, right now, I'm struggling with my body being very, very stiff. See, I had what happened last April, a year ago, I was released from rehab. And because I thought I was, you know, because of insurance, then I met the goals that insurance had for me. And that was fine. And I thought, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to really improve now because I was doing really well. Well, then I had a downturn and I'm just now getting out of it a whole year later. And that's because my thyroid went crazy, went wacko. And we're just now, I mean, really wacko. I shouldn't even be alive because my thyroid was 158 and the norm was between 0.4 and 4. So it's taken this much time for me to get my thyroid back in sync so I can go forward again. So
I have this little deck of cards that a client gave me at the office. And one of the messages there is, if you're still here, then you haven't completed your life journey and there's
exactly
more to do. So here we are. And what other tips can you leave the audience with? You just said believe in yourself.
Don't ever give up. You need to work on your limiting beliefs. If you've got anything that's preventing you from doing what you want to do in life, you have to look at those and try to overcome those. Surrendering, to me, the biggest thing is surrendering, knowing that you don't have total control of your life, that surrendering to the support of spirit, because I think that really
surrender, you will be in the present moment. You won't be in the past and the fear of that. You won't be worried about the future. That's really what surrender means. And, of course, we want to love and be loved and have beautiful relationships with ourselves. First, and know
first,
that's first. You must start with yourself first, and then know that spirit is always around, and we are never alone, as you have not been, and as all of us here facing our challenges will never be alone. So I want to thank you, Erica Tucci, for joining me on Healing From Within and sharing your clearly written, engaging, and honest story of your own journey and healing from an unexpected stroke, and sharing the 14 remarkable stories of others who had health challenges, which gave them the chance to find the deepest part of their own resilience, sense of self, and love for life. To find out how to not only survive, but actually thrive in any life-threatening circumstance, read Radiant Survivor. Go to erica@radiantsurvivor.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we find that in transitioning to a heart-based consciousness rather than in living an ego-based lifestyle, one begins to know themselves. A heart-based lifestyle opens one up to the possibilities of enjoying life more, loving oneself just as they are and with whatever conditions they have to deal with, and accepting others with their human frailties, insecurities, and fears. Erica writes, "If you surrender that control and turn inward to accept yourself at the center of your true power, with all its self-love and a level of security, you can free yourself from all outer attachments and no longer accommodate the opinions of others. You can create an open space from which your divine power can radiate within, then beam its immense light outwardly into the world. You can begin to feel at peace with yourself as you are. When you are content, you begin to feel compassion for others." Erica and I would like you to begin your process of self-investigation, change, and transformation, finding a new world of peace, calmness, health, and respect for all aspects of life. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and welcome you to listen to the radio page of Healing From Within on my website, CherylGlick.com, where leaders in the field of transformation, self-healing, spirituality, science, and the arts explore the mysteries and wonders of our physical and energy-based lives. You may also hear shows on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Cheryl, for inviting me.